Mark is the second book in the New Testament. Mark chapter 5. Is where we will be this morning. It may be a bit premature, but for a couple of reasons I feel led of the Lord to bring this message this morning. In regards to our Revelation series, some of you may have already found your place there because for several weeks we've been looking at the letters to the churches there. The particular letter to the church at Thyatira, which is the lengthiest letter of all that the Lord wrote out of the seven letters. As I looked at it over this past couple weeks, I felt like it needed more time to study and digest and consider what the Lord was saying in that passage of Scripture. And I want to make sure that I have a good grasp of what He would have us bring forth from that letter to the congregation. And so I'm reserving the right to deliver that message for the time being. And also because next week is rally, and I will not be speaking next Sunday morning, but Brother Matt McDaniels will be, and I'm looking forward to hearing him preach, and I trust that you are too. I believe he will challenge our hearts and challenge our church for the Lord. So I just feel like the Lord is leading us to deliver this particular message this morning from Mark chapter 5. I'm going to reserve reading the passage of Scripture right now, and we'll read it as we go throughout the message. We're going to look at some 20 verses, and so rather than read them now and then go back and reread them, we'll put them together with our thoughts as we go throughout the message. But the thought for the message from the passage of Scripture, and I guess the title for the message this morning for the folks back there in the sound booth would be, why be an old monster when you can be a new creature?
Amen.
Why be an old monster when you can be a new creature? And I believe that it's what Jesus is proposing to this man that we find in the text here. And it's what the text presents to all men in general. For as we look at the text and consider what we see in the Word of God, I believe we're going to discover that we're all in the same condition as we find this one particular man who is identified as a maniac. In particular, the maniac of Gadara, a man who was possessed with demons. The Bible says he had many demons, and he's not unlike us in that we all are in the same condition. The Bible says that we're all sinners. In a nutshell, the gospel is that we have all sinned and we come short of the glory of God. Our condition is that we stand condemned before God, and that there is a penalty to pay as a result. The penalty is death and hell. There is no escaping that. The Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. We're all going to have to face that judgment. But God in His mercy, God in His grace, and while we were yet sinners, the Bible says Christ died for us. And so God, who is rich in mercy, allowed His Son Jesus Christ to leave heaven and come into this earth and to die at Calvary upon a cross, so that men who consider Him and what He did for them and place their faith and trust in Him can be forgiven of their sin and have a home in heaven spend eternity there with the Lord forever and don't have to die and go to hell. Although they die a physical death, they don't have to die the spiritual death, which is the second death, but they can be free from that. And you say, how can that be? It's because God loved us enough to send His Son Jesus Christ so that we could go free. And the Bible says that it's all about what Jesus did for us and not what we can do in order to receive eternal life. It's all in what Jesus has already done for us. All we have to do is believe in Him and receive Him as our Savior. And that's how we can go from being an old monster and become a new creature. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But this passage of Scripture reveals to us and tells us how we can see whether or not we are an old monster or a new creature. And so that's what we're going to look at here for a few moments this morning. Before we get into it, let's stop and just ask the Lord to help us as we consider the Word of God this morning. Our Heavenly Father, as we look into the Word, I pray give us understanding. Open our hearts. God, help us to see Your Word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You'll give us an attention to it. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You'll help this preacher, Lord, take our stammering tongue and bring some sense to it. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to deliver the message that You want the hearer to receive. I pray, dear God, that if there's someone that is lost and undone and hasn't received You as Savior, there'll be a wonderful opportunity for that to happen here before this service concludes. Lord, if there's someone here that is saved but is still struggling in the area of Christian life in regards to sanctification, where they haven't become separated, Lord, where they still appear to be an old monster, still struggling with the old nature, I pray, dear God, that You'll set them free and help them to see that they indeed are new creatures in Christ. And we'll thank You for that as well. And we'll give You the praise and the honor and the glory. Thank You, Lord, again for bringing Sister Lynn to the service today and for what You've done physically in her body. We give You praise for that. And Lord, I thank You for the encouragement that it brings to others that are struggling with physical difficulties in their life. For that song that was just offered, that the message revealed that You can do it again. Lord, we are indeed encouraged, and we look forward with anticipation to what You're going to do and praise You just the same. And all God's people that agree with these things said, amen. Amen. As we look into the Word of God, we'll begin verse 1. And as we consider these things about why be an old monster when you can be a new creature and how to tell whether or not you're an old monster or a new creature, I first of all want you to consider this thought about the company of this man and what your company is. And look at verse number 1, if you will, in Mark chapter 5 with me, if you will, where the Bible says that as they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes, when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. The Bible says here that Jesus is on a journey, and he's traveling the sea side, the countryside, and he enters into the country of the Gadarenes. And he, as he goes by ship, immediately he meets an individual, a man, who comes out of the tombs, and this man has an unclean spirit. And the Bible says that no man could bind him, no, not with chains. This reveals something to us about his company. The Bible says that he was a man who hung out with dead people, that he hung out with the likes of zombies and morons, if you will, that he walked among the corpses, that he was a man who liked dead people. He felt right at home with them. He was in comfortable surroundings with people that were morbid, if you will. Old monsters like dead people. You can tell a lot about an individual by the people that they hang out with. If you check out your company, your friends, if you will, it will reveal your level of spirituality. It will tell a lot about who you are, whether you're dead or alive. It will reveal your true character. Do you feel right at home with dead people? Show me your friends and I'll show you who you are or what you are becoming. I'll show you what you're comfortable with. I don't know about you, but I don't like graveyards, particularly after dark. I don't like to be in those places. I'm a minister of the gospel, and often I'm called to perform funerals. And after the funeral, at the funeral home, often we're invited to go to the cemetery for a burial. And I'm thankful that in a lot of those situations, it involves the homegoing of a Christian, and we know that the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'm thankful for that, because we know that we're just laying the shell of an individual in the ground for a future gathering when the Lord catches up that body and he reunites the soul and the spirit of that individual with a glorified body, where somehow he performs a miracle and he brings that all back together. But I don't like, for the most part, the cemeteries and the graveyards that dot the landscape of our country. I know that that they're necessary, and I know the purpose of them, but for the most part, I don't like to visit them. I've got loved ones that are laid to rest in them, just as you do, but I don't like to visit them on a regular basis, because I know what they represent. But here was a man where the Bible says that he hung out in the cemetery. He hung out in the graveyard. That was a place where he felt comfortable. And the Bible says that he was a member of that society. He had his dwelling among the tombs. He felt comfortable there. That's where his company was. And that's where his friends were. In other words, wherever else he appeared, wherever else he found himself, he was in uncomfortable surroundings. He felt like a fish out of water. He didn't feel like he could be comfortable. He felt like he didn't fit in. But in the tombs, in the cemetery, in the graveyard, he felt like he fit. How sad that an individual has to find a place like that to feel like he fits in. But here was a man who felt like that's the only place where he could have some friends. Was it the cemetery? Where he could carry on a conversation with people, where he could get someone to understand him, where he could get someone to maybe listen to him, where he could sit down and get a sympathetic ear. You know what I'm talking about? Someone who would sympathize with him. Here was a man who felt like the only one who understood him was someone who hung out in the graveyard or at the cemetery. Now, I say to you that there are people like that man in our society today who feel like there is no one who understands them, no one who has any sympathy toward them, no one who cares about their soul, no one who has any time for them, no one who will listen to them, no one who will give them any understanding at all, except for someone who's laid to rest in a cemetery. And so they go there. And they spend a little bit of time there. And they say, no one else will listen to me, so I'm going to tell you what my problems are. Because when you were alive, you were the only one who seemed to listen to me. You were the only one who seemed to care. Mama, you knew me. Mama, you understood me. Mama, when I had a problem, you seemed to have the answer. Daddy, you seemed to be able to give me some counsel. Mate, husband, wife, or whichever one it is, you seem to be able to help me over the difficulties of life. And so this is where I'm in my comfort zone. This is where I feel like I fit. And the world out there, the rest of the world, seems to misunderstand me. They beat up on me. But you understand me. Here was a man who felt comfortable in a place like a cemetery, in a place like a graveyard. He was an old monster who found his place in society among the tombs. And the Bible says not only was he comfortable there, but he was controlled in that kind of atmosphere. The Bible says there in verse number 3 that no man could bind him, no, not with chains. In verse 4 it says, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. You see, old monsters have no self-control. They have no temperance, which, by the way, is a gift of the Holy Spirit, which comes as a result of knowing the Lord. An old monster has no self-control. Old monsters have bad tempers, and they flare up at any given moment. They're always ready to fight at the drop of a hat. They're a ticking time bomb waiting to explode. At the least little thing, at any word that is misspoken, they're never ready to forgive or to turn the other cheek. If you look at them in the wrong way, if they think that you're thinking wrong about them, then they're liable to fly off the handle at any given time and let you have it. I was watching Fox News early one morning, I think yesterday morning or maybe even this morning, and they were commenting about one of the recent debates and how that one candidate reached across the podium and put his hand on another candidate's shoulder and said, boy, that was almost cause for a flare-up, that they thought that candidate was just going to fly off the handle and let that other presidential hopeful have it. And thank God that they didn't, because that would have been terrible to see on TV. But old monsters have no self-control. Old monsters rebel against authority because they lack self-control. Authority tries to keep them from hurting themselves or others. And they are always, just like this man, trying to break the chains asunder, trying to get free from that sort of restraint. They're constantly breaking the rules and fighting against authority figures in their lives. In the case of a child and the parents that God gives them, when it comes to curfews, when it comes to rules in regards to dating or laying down some responsibilities in the home, every time you see an old monster rise up and say, I don't see why we have to go by that. I don't see why I have to abide by those things. I don't see why you want me in by 10:30 or 11 o'clock. I don't see why you won't trust me just a little bit. I don't see why I can't be an adult. Well, it's because we know that there's an old nature that exists within every individual. And if it's allowed a little bit of run, if it's allowed a little bit of freedom, that it can go too far. And there needs to be some restraint. So in regards to your control, you can be an old monster. Sometimes a preacher will set a standard. Sometimes he'll speak about purity. Sometimes he'll say, this is what the Lord says. There's an old path that we have to adhere to. And a Christian will say, that's old-fashioned. That's not for today. That may have been for the church years ago, but man, we're living in a different day and time. Let's come up to modern society. And let's change some things. My friend, the book hadn't changed. It's still just as true today as it was when God gave it to us. You say, well, we've got different thing. We've got a different word today. It's been modernized. No, it hadn't. Men have tried to modernize it, but God's standard is still the same. He still gives us what is able to control this old nature, this old monster that lives within us, and help us live under constraint and keep things in check. And by the way, the only way that is possible is when you turn your life over to Him. When you're controlled by the influence of the Holy Spirit. We have no self-control within ourselves. It's only when we allow Him to have control over our being. Old monsters rebel against authority, just like this man. The Bible says that no man could bind him. No, not with chains. You can't keep yourself in check. That's why these programs that have these 12 steps, while they're good in theory, they're not successful because they leave God out.
Yes, sir.
Without Him, you cannot succeed.
Amen.
My wife and I were out last night, and it was so sad to watch two grown men sit at a table with a young boy and a bucket before them with a six-pack of beer. And they shared that amongst themselves. And the boy kept watching them, and my wife kept watching to see how they shared that. And they kept sending the boy to the video room to play the games. And after they finished that bucket off, the waitress came back, and of course, she asked them the obvious question, would you like me to refill that? And they said, well, sure. And she said to me, as my back was to them, and she said, I can't believe that she just asked them that. And as she brought another bucket with six bottles in it, she said, I wonder which one of them is going to drive home. And I said, well, obviously neither one of them should, especially with the young boy in their possession. And we had thoughts of them getting on the road and turning out of the parking lot and somebody coming down the road and their vision being impaired or their senses being dulled and an accident occurring. And then one of our church families notified her about an accident that had occurred down there in the same area in Hillview. And I know her first thought was, I wonder if those two men and that little boy had something to do with that. See, man, because of the old nature, the old monster that we're all born with, has no self-control. We cannot bind ourselves with chains. We cannot restrain ourselves. There's nothing we can do. Even though in all likelihood it was probably a daddy and a granddad that had possession of that little boy, the power of that alcohol, was more than the love, obviously, that they had for that little boy. Or they thought that they could handle that. And I don't know, they may have made a decision. We left before that, before they did. They may have made a decision to have somebody else drive them home or to call somebody and come get them. I don't know. I guess I should give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't know. But I've seen it happen too many times, and you've read reports and seen in the news of tragedy too many times to know what I'm talking about. Old monsters have no self-control, and it gets out of hand. Old monsters rebel against authority. In regards to your company, in regards to your control, this same account in Mark chapter 5 is retold in Matthew and also in Luke. And in Luke chapter 8, it's told a little bit different fashion. It also talks about him in regards to his clothing. Just listen to what it says. It says, when he went forth to land in Luke 8, 27, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and he wear no clothes. He wear no clothes. He shopped at a certain store, a men's warehouse, if you will, where he got a suit that was transparent. You didn't get that, did you? He wear no clothes. He run around naked. You see, you're an old monster when you do that. That's what it had caused you to do. That old nature. It had caused you to disrobe. It had caused you to take your clothes off. It had caused you to dress immodestly. That's what we see, isn't it? There's a lot of old monsters in the world today, apparently. At least in my world, I see it everywhere. After we were up here for most of the day, yesterday, we had to go somewhere to get a few things, and as we were going down Preston and toward Outer Loop, we saw this young couple in. They were walking along, and this girl, she had on a tank top, and she had her jacket tied around her waist, and the guy that was walking with her, young guy that was walking with her, he had his shirt off, and they were just walking down the sidewalk like it was 100 degrees outside. And I know it was a fairly nice day, but it wasn't that. And I guess they were just sporting their tattoos and showing off how they'd been painted up. And I thought, yep, they're just showing off their old monster. Here was a man, the Bible says, who wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. I have books in my office, the titles of which are Your Clothes Say It For You, Clothes Make the Man, and you say, oh, that's going a bit too far, that's legalism. And why is it that in the business world, in the secular world, in terms of employment, that oftentimes there's a dress code? But when it comes to the church, when it comes to Christianity, when you start pushing that, when you start promoting that, it turns into legalism. You're splitting hairs. Getting a little bit quiet. I think it's just because that old monster continues to exist. And every time it rears its ugly head, we have to contend with it. And oftentimes we like what that old monster likes more than we desire what the new creature in Christ desires. Amen.
Amen.
Notice this man's conduct also in verse number 4. The Bible says, "And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." Always night and day he was in the mountains. That speaks about his schedule. Old mountains love the darkness. What is there for Christians to do late at night? Sleep. That's a good answer.
Amen.
Amen. Monsters keep late hours and hang out with dead people. Stay up late and watch MTV and other freaky stuff on TV. The devil entertains our thoughts late at night. We ought to lay our head on our pillow and we ought to pray ourselves to sleep. We ought to quote Scripture and we ought to get rest and be ready to get up the next morning and do the Lord's will. Amen. Notice what he was doing in regards to his conduct as he stayed up late at night. The Bible says he was sobbing, he was crying. Unhappy, no peace within. You ever heard somebody say, "I just cry myself to sleep at night. I toss and turn, I can't get any rest. I just cry and cry, and there's no peace within." I believe this man had suicidal tendencies because the Bible says he cut himself with stones. Really, he was tired of living this way and he was looking for a way out. He wanted to end it all. There are a lot of people just like this man. It is estimated that every 38 seconds, someone attempts suicide in our society. Every 38 seconds. One out of three teens has suicidal thoughts at one time or another. One out of six teens attempt suicide before graduating high school. I'm not picking on teenagers, but it just seems like the devil works harder in that particular age group than he does any other. 2 million teens will attempt suicide in the U.S. this year. What a sad picture, this man, of the old monster that is alive and working in so many lives today. But that's not the end of the story. This monster gets saved. This monster experiences a change. I want you to notice the change in him. The Bible says in verse number 6, "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him."
Yes, sir.
Something changed in this man's life. The Bible says down there in verse number 15, look on, that as they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid. Something changed in his company. Notice up there in the earlier verses that He hung out in the tombs, but here he's hanging out with Jesus.
Amen.
Here he's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and while he was causing others to be afraid of him because of his former company, now he's causing others to be afraid because of his newfound friend.
Amen.
He's hanging out with the Savior. He's hanging out with Jesus. And there's a new form of fear that they have in regards to this man. He has met the Master. He has met Jesus. When you become a new creature, you want to be with the man. You want to be with the Master. You want to be with the Savior. You want to be with God's people. There's a desire that has changed in your heart and in your life. You want to be in church. You want to be around God's people. You want to be with the saints. Like David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Amen.
You want to be like this man that's visiting with us today who said, I ain't been to church in 4 to 6 years and I'll gladly come to your church. He come to the yard sale yesterday and he found out when our services were and he said, if someone would pick me up, I'll be there. And someone picked him up and he's here this morning. That's what happens when you realize who Jesus is and what he can do for you and how he can make you a new creature. The Bible says in verse number 18, when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. When you become changed, when you go from being an old monster to a new creature, you desire to be with Jesus. I have my doubts about these folks who make a profession of faith in Christ, but don't desire to be with Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? They come in and get saved, but then you never see them again. And they even go so far as to say, oh, well, I've just gotten busy and you'll see me in glory. Well, I know I'm not the judge and maybe I will see you in glory, but it sure does make me wonder. I believe when a person gets genuinely saved, you have a desire to want to be with Jesus and with God's people.
Amen.
There's something about you that changes. And there's something about you that just can't keep you away from God and the things of God. You want to be around Him and you desire to be in His company. And you desire to be under His control. Notice this man was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's not a wild man any longer. He goes from running around, probably foaming at the mouth, cutting himself, chains hanging off of him, breaking those chains, to being in his right mind. No longer out of his mind, but being content, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And the people look at him and say, this can't even be the same man. I wonder, has Jesus made such a difference in your life and my life that people look at us and say, that can't even be the same person. That's not even the same lady. That's not even the same man. You've been working at the same company for 20, 30 years. But you've been saved for 5, 10 years, or maybe you got saved just recently. And people are looking at you with astonishment saying, I don't know, there's something different about them. That's not the same person. On the block where you live, people used to see you hanging out in the backyard with a tall one in your hand, and you were throwing them back. But now they don't see you doing that. You was throwing wild parties, but now you're not doing that, and they say, that's not the same person.
Amen.
If you profess to have met Jesus and they're still seeing you do that, guess what? Something's not right. This man went from being out of control to being under control. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. from being untamed to being tame. And the Bible says that he was clothed. He found the men's warehouse. God gave him a suit of clothes. That's probably why they didn't recognize him. You ever notice how it is whenever you see somebody that's half unclothed or totally unclothed, how immediately it draws our attention? You can't help it. Remember old Ray Stevens when you wrote that song years ago? And he put in the song that expression, "Don't look, Ethel." Oops, too late. The streak, yeah, the streak. We can't help it. Our old monster draws our attention and we look immediately. And that's probably why they didn't recognize this fella. Because when they saw him after he met Jesus, he was clothed and they said, "That can't be the same fella." But sure enough, he was clothed. And not only was he clothed, but his conduct was altogether different. Such a great change in his life had occurred that people were amazed. And the verse that God used Paul to put in the Word of God came true in his life. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new." His conduct had radically been altered. I wonder if that's the way it is in our life. And then his commission. Had been given. The Bible says there in verse number 19. That while he wanted to go with Jesus, Jesus suffered him not. But saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. And hath had compassion on thee." You see, once we get saved, we ought to try to help other old monsters become new creatures as well. The greatest evidence of salvation is a changed life.
Yes.
Is a radical altering of our life. Mm-hmm. When we give evidence of that, I believe it'll create a desire and a thirst in other individual lives, even our family members. And that's why Jesus challenged this man to go home and tell his friends and family what great things the Lord hath done for him. Some people, even after they profess to have been saved, will continue to live like an old monster instead of like a new creature. And so here's the challenge by way of invitation. If you've never been saved, why do you continue to be an old monster when you can be a new creature? If you've been saved, but you're still living like the old monster, why don't you become that new creature that Christ has designed for you to be? Either way, God has a better plan for your life. But it's up to you to let him make the change. This man gives us indication that it's possible. You can go from being out of control to being under control if you let God do his work in your life.